My wife's doing fine after her shoulder repair surgery. Thanks for your prayers, for the food you brought by, etc. We'll get through it. I told her this is the last surgery she can have. I've had it. For those of you who know the full story of her medical history, it's phenomenal, if you want to call it that. All right. What's her seat doing up there? Move that. It's driving me nuts. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it. All right. If we need to, utilize Rebound real quick. You can get out of fellowship real easy, as you well know. It didn't take much. A thought, an attitude, reacting to something. Sin nature has a mind of its own. It kicks up at any time and any place. Our detailed doctrine of the sin nature is available. It's one of those things that people don't understand. The sin nature isn't in the soul. The sin nature seeks to impose its agenda on the real you. The real you is the soul. The old you is the sin nature. The new you is the new man that we're trying to build up in Bible class as a result of you growing up spiritually and getting God's norms and standards and getting the junk out of your soul. Because we all accumulate junk through time. We think it's just great. And then if and when we are exposed to sound doctrine, then we can jettison that darkness and replace it with light, divine viewpoint. And sometimes it's painful. It's painful to give up and to realize that God isn't into that. That isn't his viewpoint. God has a viewpoint. We call it the divine viewpoint. His ways, his viewpoint. What humans have is human viewpoint. It's an admixture of stuff accumulated through their lifetime and their exposure to whatever they've been exposed to. School, religion, you know, somebody they're impressed with, whatever. Divine viewpoint is to be found in Scripture. And I have said a lot, and I have a lot to say about a lot of topics. The thing is, if you're that kind of a believer, you're willing to submit your viewpoint to Scripture, and if it doesn't shape up, doesn't square up, out. The soul is like a pot that, and the darkness that fills people's souls is all this cosmic wisdom, cosmic viewpoint. This is the devil's world, by the way. And most people, obviously, are negative. They're not truth seekers. Whatever they say, they're not seeking divine truth. So Satan has spawned all this doctrine of demons all over the face of the earth. And he's had centuries to do it. And he has those people who are willing to channel this mess to the human race. In the name of religion, in the name of science, in the name of politics, in the name of all kinds of stuff. So we're here to get the truth and get set free of it. The truth will set you free. Free from all the bondage to this human viewpoint. Some of it's fun human viewpoint. Some of it's whatever it is. It's human viewpoint. I always give my little spiel about how phony Christmas is. It's phony. God isn't into this. Shocker, huh? I'm taking my grandson to get a haircut on Friday afternoon, and I'm going down the highway there, heading towards Classen and Western, past May and all that. I get to the Penn exit. Cars are backed up all the way down the highway so they can go to Penn Square and Christmas shop. Are you kidding me? They couldn't give stuff away for me to get in that line. But they got to do it. And you know, the funny thing is, well, it's not funny, but it is to me now. Somebody told me they had a professor at OU back in the day, history, some kind of history, whatever. And he always liked to twit all these Christian Okies that came in there. He said, there's no way Christ was born December the 25th. No way. He said the Romans would have never done a census where people were required to go to their hometown and sign. They would have never done it in the winter. No way. Well, that's just one line of argument. We have a doctrine of the recalculated birth of Christ. He was born 9/11, 3 B.C. The end of the Jewish summer on one Tishri, the called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means top, top of the year. It'd be like our New Year's. Top of the year. He was born on the first day of the Jewish civil year. That's when kings were crowned. That's his birth date. Now, if you like it, the Magi, however many of them there were, they say there were three. There's at least two. It's plural. They showed up when Jesus was 1 year and 15 months old, around the 25th of December. That's when they showed. And they didn't show up in the manger. Jesus' mother and father, they got him a little house in Bethlehem before they were told to get out of there and go to Egypt because of that nut Herod, psychopath, paranoid psychopath. Get out of there. So see, the cosmos doesn't get any of this stuff right. They're always messing up. Come to Bible class, we've been blessed with an understanding. We've been blessed with an understanding of, where the Jews crossed the Red Sea. They didn't cross the Suez. They crossed at the Gulf of Aqaba. And the Sinai Peninsula, as it is called today, has a false name. Because the true Mount Sinai isn't that tourist trap that I traveled to when I was in the Middle East. It's in Saudi, across the Gulf of Aqaba. And the beach that my wife and I went to, Nueva Beach, it's 8 miles across that, and that's deep water. But there's an underground land bridge. And divers have been diving, and they found artifacts of the Egyptian chariot thing down there. How'd that get there? And the true Mount Sinai is on the other side. So will the real Mount Sinai please stand up? It's not the one in the center of the Sinai Peninsula. I went there too, because I was there. I just wanted to go there. But at that time, I was blessed to know that the Jews came up out of Egypt and came down a canyon that led out to this massive beach. And I drove my car, rent car, we drove it up that canyon called the Colored Canyon, because the rock formations have colorations in it. And there's a paved road, and that's the canyon the Jews marched down through with Pharaoh behind them. It was a trap for the dummy. He thought he had them. Water in front of him, Pharaoh behind him. Can't go right or left because you got all these this high rock cliffs. It was a trap for the dummy. And so God parted that and dried that out. And because the depth there at Aqaba is so deep, at the deepest point, it's the water that was the wall of water that was held up by the power of God was almost as high as the Empire State Building. If you can imagine walking through there with all your kids and your carts and all your animals, good grief. And they marched through there, and that dummy Pharaoh led his army in there. And God collapsed the water, of course, and washed them all up on the other shore. And that was the end of the 12th dynasty and the end of Egypt being a supreme world power until about 400 some years later. That's where it really happened. In the Middle East, in Jerusalem, they don't have the Temple Mount site right. That wall where all the Jews are doing this number and they're sticking prayers in the little cracks, that was the Roman fortress, Antonia. The joke's on the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews. It's south of there. south of there. Because Jesus said to his disciples from the Mount of Olives that not one stone would be left on top of another. Well, those stones are all stacked up. Is he a false? Did he give a false prophecy? No. They got the wrong place. Oh, they're real close, but close isn't good enough. Except maybe in horseshoes. It's being right on with things. That's why we're in the rapture generation. You know, I was a year and a half old when we entered the rapture generation, approximately. I was born in 1946, and Israel became a nation for the first time May 14th, 1948. And Jesus said that generation will not pass away. And a generation spans the area from 70 to 80 years. That's an average lifespan of a normal person. 70 to 80. So do the math. You add 80, the big number, and this is based on Psalm 139. Moses talks about this. I think it's verse 4. That's 80. So add 80 to 48 and you get 2028. You subtract 7 and you get 2021. We're on the cusp of 2020. And we're going to be the blank out of here. And these people out here, they don't have a clue. They are not ready, believers included. They're not prepared. They're not spiritually informed. And they're running around out here. Who won the game? The absolute fanaticism. And this country is going to be taken out in 1 hour, a one day, 3 years after we're out of here. And Russia's going to do it. Because Christ is the Lord of history. He controls history. And you can read it in Jeremiah 50 and 51 and Revelation 18. Don't confuse 17. 17's where God is going to use the Antichrist to take down the Catholic Church. And the Antichrist, Alexander the Great. All documented here at Maranatha Church. Alex will be back. And they will freak out over him. God will bring him up from the pit. I had a woman in church say to me, well, it's appointed man wants to die and after that, the judgment, so it can't be him. I says, no, that is the general rule of thumb for all people. But people are going to be brought back from the past in the 7 year trib, which is Daniel's 70th week of years. And by the way, everything from 33 AD, which started this dispensation and concluded the 69th week of years, and then we have this hiatus, but you still do the 7 count. You do the 7 count. And you come, God likes that number 7. You do the 7 count, and you will come down to let's say this century, 2000. That's a 7 count. Then 2007, 14, 21, 28, and on up the line. Okay? And if you want to know the details about any of this, we have doctrines for you. We have information free of charge. We have never charged for anything. You do not sell spiritual stuff to people. You can sell comic books. You can sell dictionaries. You can sell whatever that. But you do not sell. You do not market. And you do not merchandise doctrine. Like on TV and everything. For a special of $14.95, you can get this booklet. It ought to be free if it was worth anything. We don't sell it. We don't have gimmicks to raise money. Car washes. All that mess. You don't see any of that in the Word of God. That's not appropriate. So I'm preaching to the choir, but that's the point. We don't raise money. I don't beg for money. You give of your own free will, and we've been taken care of all these years. No, we don't have as much money as we once had, but we've got enough money to do what we've got to do. We've got to replace those furnaces back there in that furnace room cleared out that serves that lower part of the church, that and down there. Those things are old as me. And they've kept running, but we got to get that fixed. So pray about it. We're heading down to get that done. I don't know, hopefully we won't have to miss much class without heat on that end down there. Okay, back to this. I have a lot more to say. A lot more. shocking stuff to those who have not been exposed. See, and when I tell someone something, like let's just say I drop a bombshell on them, I don't ask you to believe me because I said it. I expect you to do your due diligence, get your Bible, get the information, look up the scriptures, pray about it, because you can't be convinced of a doctrine that involves all of these different aspects. You can't be convinced of it just because you heard someone say something off the top of their head. You have got to be a student. And then you say, ah, now I see that. And then once you exercise faith in that, then you grow in regards to the details. Because there's a lot of details that fill in and augment the main basic concept. That's what people don't want to do. And see, the scripture says that this is the way believers are going to be in the last days. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will want to heap to themselves teachers, having ears needed to be tickled. They listen to this guy and that guy on the line and on TV and wherever they bounce around, all these loose camps, all this stuff. Does it make sense? They've never heard a right pastor, right congregation. They've never heard of that doctrine. You can defend it based on John chapter 10, etc. You listen to one drummer at a time. And one drummer at a time will take you to maturity if he's doing his job. And if he isn't doing his job or he quits doing his job, God has 100 ways to take him out and put someone in his place that'll do it right. Yes, he gives us a lot of freedom, naturally. And he doesn't expect perfection in that sense. We're students and we're growing in knowledge and grace. That's grace orientation. And growing in knowledge. It's the know-it-alls I can't stand. Oh, I know that. Okay, fine. You're so good. You're unteachable. It's your pride. And you gotta be willing to let your sacred cows be shot down if that's what it takes. And it can be brutal. It can be hurtful. Hang in there. Okay, the good conscience. On those occasions when a believer violates the conscience, the self-condemnation is not a pleasant experience. It is good to have a conscience that condemns us, as it indicates good norms and standards. When we fail to apply, like we know we should, and experience self-condemnation, we are to keep in mind that God perfectly monitors our thoughts and motivations. Now, this is another thing. The fear of God is this. He knows what I'm thinking. To the psalmist, that's a good thing. You know my innermost thoughts. If I'm screwed up about something, help me out of it. But I'm not going to be presumptuous. I'm not going to play games, because you can't hide anything from God. Nothing. All we think, do, is laid bare to Him, as if it was announced from a rooftop. So nothing is secret to Him. That is the basis for the fear of God. The fear of God should produce genuinely in a person, oh, I fear God. Well, then if you do, you will seek Him. You will seek His Word. You'll seek His will. You will look at the Bible. Once you come to the point, you realize that the Bible is the Word of God. And that it has been subject to all kinds of interpretation, misinterpretation, and all the rest of it. How do I work my way through this mess? Prayer. And God knowing your heart. That you're not playing games. You're willing to have your human viewpoint exposed, get the divine viewpoint, and move forward. Once you get in that mode, you'll be all right. So, nothing is hidden from His scrutiny, even our innermost thoughts. I mean, there's a whole bunch of scriptures on that. I just, the seven churches of Asia, not Asia as we know it, Asia Minor, the Greek-Roman, the Roman province. These seven churches, there were other churches, but these seven churches were picked for a reason in the book of Revelation, because they represent the trends of seven eras of the church age. from the apostolic era to the rapture generation era, of which we're a part. We're in the Laodicean era, but we don't have to be Laodicean. Laodicean Christianity is basically very active Christianity, people doing all kinds of stuff, but they're not stressing the importance of Bible doctrine. We have a separate doctrine, the importance of Bible doctrine. What does the Bible have to say about itself and the importance of the assimilation of this into your soul? What we have in the Bible is the mind of Christ. If you want to be like Christ, you've got to think like Him. It can't be some little superficial thing. It has to be, this is what He thinks about this. This is what He thinks about the United States, since it's in prophecy. This is what He thinks about LGBT. Craziness. I never thought I'd get to this bad of a point. Where people are trying to re-identify what gender they are. When? Oh, when? It's just unbelievable. And it wouldn't be so bad, but our top authorities are promoting it. They promote it. They should be saying something that this isn't right. So the Supreme Court says, we'll recognize a gay marriage. Really? And if you don't, you're a hater. Yeah, I hate this stuff. That's obvious. I hate all kinds of evil and corruption. I hate my own sin nature. But the fact is, this isn't the only reason why God's going to take us out in the most unprecedented destruction of a major nation in human history, even surpassing something like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to happen in 1 hour or one day. Now, we won't be here. Those who get saved after we're out of here will be given instructions to go back to the country from which their ancestors migrated here. And they'll have this window of opportunity, or you're going to be destroyed in the Holocaust. I'm going to burn all of our cities, from L.A. to Chicago to New York and all around. They're going to take direct hits. When it's said and done, and some will survive the initial blast, but they're all going to die. And this country, this landmass, from sea to sea, border to border, will be off limits to occupation in the millennium. It'll be an overgrown nature park where animals and those species will flourish. It will be a statement, because you say, well, what have we done? It's so bad. You got to get the details. You've got to know the true history. We are the promoter of worldwide internationalism. The New World Order, Bush Sr., we're going to build a new world order in 1,000 points of light. What's that? I'm some dummy watching TV. What's that? What are your 1,000 points of light? It's occultic, Illuminati stuff. It's the Illuminati. It's the hardcore crowd that wants to overthrow all the divine institutions under Satan and everything God has specified for the well-being of humanity. Volition, marriage, family, nationalism are all under attack. Direct attack. You can't identify with those kind of people, hopefully. But these kind of people exist. From Adam Weisskopf to all these other types, that paper I had printed up for you. I think it's all been handed out. It's not anymore. I'm in the door. It gives you a brief history and the statements out of the mouths of people, American and foreign, about this new world order and this new order they're trying to establish. You wouldn't want to live in it. I'm talking about the most hardcore hate of God and His plan that you can imagine. And the direct what Satan wants is direct worship of His person. Well, how is he going to get that there? Well, we got a lot of Satanists running around today. We got a lot of this stuff going on, but under the Antichrist isn't going to deny the existence of God. And he is not going to deny the existence of Satan. Satan's plan from Isaiah 14 is to overthrow the throne of God directly above us. And replace and put himself on it. That's what they were trying to do, the dummies, at the Tower of Babel. By building that stupid tower. That's exactly what they were doing. They weren't just about to build a tall building, stand around on it, and say, "Hail Satan." It gets more complicated. I mean, it's phenomenal. Well, God broke that little party up with a miracle. He just erased the languages in them and put new ones in everywhere, and nobody could talk to anybody anymore. So they had to go out and do what he wanted them to do, build nations. He's got so many ways. So this system, this level of evil on our earth will reach a point that's unprecedented. I think even before the flood, and it was really bad then. Really bad. And then the Lord God, Jesus Christ, he's going to step in with these seal judgments. 1, 2, 3. The first four are horses, represented by horses, because they're all interconnected. One, cause and effect, cause and effect. The rider on the white horse with a bow without the arrow and all, that's the U.S. We project ourselves as the righteous nation, shining city on a hill, and we're so great. And we're just here for your benefit. Go away, go away. The rider on the red horse is Russia. And that also represented in the book of Daniel as the bear that rises up and devours much flesh. And then the next one is economic collapse. And in Europe, we're going to be prosperous. I'm not saying there can't be a recession or some kind of stuff that manipulators do, but we're going to be prosperous. All this importing of stuff from all over the world, all this materialism, made in wherever, all that is going to be carried on right up until we're nuked. And then there will be an economic, that just pulls the plug. And that's the rider on the black horse. And then the rider on the fourth horse, the ashen horse, that's the result of all the deaths that are going to occur as a result of all this nuclear stuff caught up in the winds and spread everywhere. But as chaotic as that may sound, Christ has control of history. And then we have the other seal judgments. One of them is just to freak people out. It didn't hurt to anybody. You wouldn't even get hurt, but it'll just freak people out when they want to run and hide in the hills and everything. That one is just psychological warfare, pure and simple. And you go all the way up to the middle of the tribulation, and then it's like, you haven't seen anything yet. What? Because the Bible says the human race has never faced this. This party's just about over for all these people out here. So drag yourself out to your ball game and get up there and scream your little lungs out while this is happening. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of coming to the Son of Man. They'll be eating and drinking and partying and carrying on and rah, 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 and all this stuff. And as we studied in Ecclesiastes, it's all vanity and chasing after the wind. Because in the end, you will have nothing if you don't have God and have His truth in your soul. Because your nice big house in whatever hills and your Maserati and your whatever and your private jet so you can go golf wherever and all the stuff, it's gone. It's gone. And the average person out here is going to be a refugee. It is going to be unbelievable. But the only thing, if anybody ever got any of this information after the rapture, here's the deal. Become a believer, because the first thing God's going to do after the rapture, He's going to give the gospel to the entire world. Every language, I don't care if you're in the heart of the Amazon and the most primitive tribe down there, you're going to get a gospel hearing. Believe in Christ. Then the next announcement, major announcement, don't take the mark of the beast. And what's that? It's these implants, this stuff they're doing to change people. It's not some crude tattoo. And an announcement, get the blank out of the United States. And an angel's going to administer that He's going to make a big announcement about the fall of the United States. Going to pick that Statue of Liberty up. That's our most iconic deal, symbolizing America and immigration. It's going to be reverse immigration. He's going to pick that thing up and he's going to do a hook shot into the Atlantic Ocean, never to be recovered. And so Babylon will go down, never to be recovered. That's my guess on the huge stone, like a millstone, because the statue sits on a round base. And it sits in the center of it. And a cultist put it there. Here, Christian nation, this is a female goddess figure. Have you heard that they got outside the Colosseum in Rome, in that big entrance where all the tourists go in? This is where they slaughtered all the Christians back in the day. There's a big statue. I'm not talking about a little tiny thing. I'm talking big. I don't know how the dimensions of the god Moloch. And of course, the Catholic Church administers—they're kind of the administrators over the Colosseum and that area. But they got the god Moloch out there. They got in D.C. or a couple places in the United States. They have the Arch of Baal. In Detroit, in a prominent place, they have Bahamut, the goat god deity, set up. What's gone wrong with this country? It's like everything's being flipped over. And a return to this nonsense. You know, I'm sure glad we're going to be out of here. It's depressing. But I have doctrine, and I have hope, and you do too. And nothing is hidden from his scrutiny. That's why he can judge us so righteously. How does he know when I'm in fellowship and not? He knows. So he monitors my entire phase two Christian life and all the divine good and the human good. He knows my innermost thoughts, my motivations. Nothing is hidden from him. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira. Well, that was a wonderful church. You can't make this up. This was I'm not mocking it. This was a legitimate church. All these were legitimate churches. They're all lampstands. The whole thing starts off with Christ standing in the midst of the seven lampstands. And in his right hand, he's holding a deal that has seven stars. That's the pastor teachers of those churches. And all of them are equal pastor teachers, equal churches, not one less a church than the other. And as you read the seven, some get condemnation and commendation. Some get nothing but condemnation, and only a couple, it's pure commendation. Sardis and Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania. Okay? Well, Thyatira, oh. That one is a killer one. This is a church? You make Maranatha look good on its worst day. Honestly, it will. How can you be a church and have somebody doing that? Come on. Read the Corinthians. Yeah, they were a wonderful... They had everything together, didn't they? No. But it was still a church that Paul was responsible for spiritually and ministered to in at least two letters. Well, actually a third, because that's not a part of the canon. But first and second, all this. There's positive volition there. There's believers there. They pulled a bunch of stupid stunts. So we have here. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them. I'm sorry, I should have read 23. And I will kill her children with pestilence. There was a woman in the church that was a serial fornicator. She was seducing people, telling them this is how we learn the deep things. I mean, it was crazy. Some thought it was the pastor's wife. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. So you don't, even those members of that, you say, well, if I was in a church like that, I'd be, you couldn't get me out of there fast enough. Well, read it. The local church is the classroom of Christianity established by God. And all the violations of that environment that we have today, notwithstanding, it is the local church is the classroom of Christianity, where you have church members coming of their own free will. I don't go out here and solicit anybody. I have no magic. This is the truth. Take it or leave it. And a board of deacons, duly elected by the church, and a pastor teacher you called way back in the day. And it's a marriage. It's a marriage. It's not, and I can't retire unless I physically couldn't do it, let's say, due to health, for instance. So people say, when are you going to retire, preacher? When I get raptured out of here, or I die, or whatever God chooses to do. But it's a commitment to the end. I was here when I'm young, I'm here when I'm not so young. So what? As I tell people, pretty soon, I'm going to be 35 forever. That's how old Christ was when he was resurrected. So your grandmother and your mother and your daughter and whoever that are all different ages, they're all going to be brought into the 35 bracket. How cool is that? That's real cool, isn't it? No babies. Children will be adults. I tell my grandson that. He's heard something like that in prep school too. He listens anyway. I'm glad for that. In the life of the positive growing believer, this experience of assurance and condemnation is ongoing. Romans 2:5. This is just to illustrate. He's talking about the Gentile world, the world of unbelievers, and how they all went away, you know, from the time after at Babel on, and involved themselves in, when they blew off God, the living God, they bought into all this mythology. In that they, Gentiles, show the work of the law written in their hearts. He's talking about unbelievers showing the law written in their hearts. Unbelievers have establishment norms and standards. They know right from wrong. We wouldn't have a legal system. I know it's got a lot of problems now, but that you wouldn't have a legal system. No, you can't rape people. Boom, you're in trouble. You can't do this. Boom. There are unbelievers with high norms and standards that we would say are righteous, not divine. I don't know how to explain that. In that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. Can you imagine a world where people have no conscience? And their thoughts accusing or else defending them. How about that for a verse? Unbelievers know this. Unbelievers have the laws of divine establishment, as I call them. Now, there's a bunch of them that have just thrown them all overboard, pretty much. But they have the laws of divine establishment in them. Otherwise, you couldn't have civilization. You couldn't have progress. You couldn't have anything if you didn't have rights and wrongs and fix and try to do it. Yes, the system's imperfect, but it's carrying us. So pray for those in authority, even though as messed up as things are getting in this country, that God will use them to hold it together. So we, in quietness, can pursue godliness. It's an environment. If it was chaos and everything, how hard would it be for us to get in our car, come down a highway, and everything regulated so we can park here and come in and get under face-to-face teaching? Or go to your job tomorrow and have one. Now that's a good, I really like that verse. We should not play games with God, as He is greater than our heart conscience and knows all things. That's very comforting to me. He knows everything. He knows if I'm being used by somebody. He knows everything that's around. He knows people's innermost, and he'll peg it on people. Yeah, you pretended to be this way, but this was your private thoughts on the matter. We will not escape this. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The Bible is loaded with verses about the omniscience of God. In fact, it's mind-boggling. He knew all this before it happened. He doesn't learn anything. And certainly doesn't forget anything. You can't think higher than that. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten our positive volition. In Jesus' name, amen.